We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Dee McKee, Pottawatomie County Commissioner, and getting updates on what's going on in the county. If you got a question, be sure to give us a call, 785-537-1350, and we'll try to answer it for you. And, you know, as mentioned, quite a busy meeting yesterday. There's a lot of department updates. We reported on the health department primarily because, boy, they've apparently had some challenges here the last few weeks, and maybe more so than we realized that, I mean, I think we all know how strained the health department workers and nurses and doctors have all been here the past 18 months. But hearing Leslie report yesterday, I could hear it in her voice. She's tired.
They are. Everybody that is essential services does not get the time off, and they haven't had the splits and everything. But the health department now has more obligation to trace when one person has the COVID, then they're supposed to find everybody that's around them, and then they're supposed to encourage to isolate to protect the rest of the people. And she has limited staff. That was the issue. Is probably even finding staff is difficult at this time, but yeah. Limited staff is there. And so we did some brainstorming, and we did give her some of the money from the revival fund, if I call it that. It's got an alphabet soup on it. I'm not just exactly sure what I'm supposed to say.
But yeah, ARPA.
American Rescue Plan. And she's going to be advertising for some nurses to assist with the shots. And we need people in the office to be able to call and follow up. And the schools now are calling with their questions about how to do things. We have tried to give opportunities for the inoculation, the vaccine, to people, and unfortunately, as she said, most of them that are in the hospital right now have not had the vaccine. It's a person's choice, and we have made it strongly suggested when you're in a group to wear masks and separate, especially if you haven't had the shot. And that's some of the issues that we've seen in some settings. Choir was practicing together, and one got it, and all the rest now are, you know, they could have been spread out a little bit, but I don't want to control it. We don't have the manpower, the sheriff's office, the courts are not available to fine anybody. If we put him in jail, we'd have everybody in jail sick, and we wouldn't be able to run that. So it really depends on personal responsibility to try and take care of it. So we did give her some more money. She'll be advertising. She had some already applications in place, some as a school administrator in history. Some history is that the nurses in school were really not, some of them came and volunteered, but were on contract and home during COVID, and where they, that manpower and depth of resources there, that's difficult. I say the same thing about mental health. We had an enormous amount of child in need of care and domestic violence and depression and stuff going on, but when the state legislature decided to put mental health in school, I can tell you, having been a director of special ed, that the kids in the STEM classes, the music, the sports can't get out to go to talk to mental health. And mental health, when they're on an IEP, cannot just go call the attorney and say, here's the problem. So I personally, if I was recommending an advancement, that those people would all be in the area. Mental health is a very strong program, and the school would consult until come at 3 o'clock, come at 2 o'clock, come in and, you know, spend time. But knowing the kids that are in trouble in the morning when they come in and they've been beat up by somebody, you need to be able to hand it off to somebody who can go ahead and get with the courts and the attorneys and everything else, rather than trying to settle it in school, because generally it ties out to somebody in the community, those kind of things. It's complicated, but having seen it both rural and urban, I do think that adjustment may be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
A special ed director will hire people to come and do that. Same with nurses. We don't do medical in school by law.
Yeah.
The medical.
Well, it's interesting, you know, and Pfizer got full FDA approval yesterday. Do you think you'll start to see maybe some of those vaccine numbers go up in Pott County?
We're going to keep working on it no matter what the vaccine method is. There's just no, that is the mission of the county health nurses, to make sure that if there's whooping cough or anything, that they trace it and isolate for the problem. And so that challenge just takes a lot of manpower to call. They want them now to call them every day and check and see if they're there, you know. Well, that could be as many as 200 calls or 300 calls a day, and the manpower to do that is an extreme demand on what is just generally budgeted in any county.
Yeah. a lot of challenges there. And, you know, one thing Pat brought up during the meeting yesterday, and I agree with him on this, it's really confusing. The state website for KDHE does not seem to track weekly vaccine numbers. And a lot of the, some of the data points, not all of them, are kind of confusing. And maybe it's confusing
to all of us.
to all of us, maybe on purpose, I don't know. But, you know, some of the rankings they have there, saying Pod County is 100 out of 105 counties in terms of COVID. I mean, according to who? That's always kind of the question.
And I gave my comment about percentages earlier. Your real numbers will tell you what you did, but when you know, if you're ranked one out of, and they've done this, we couldn't figure it out looking at the data on the board. Pat was trying to do it and going kind of quick. It's not the local health people's problem necessarily. The data goes up someplace into a black hole and then comes back down to us, and it's hard to analyze that, especially some will go test in one county and show up in another. Well, Muncie County has no hospital. They might be in Topeka. They might be other places. We do know the calls are coming. The ambulance talked about being called even to try and transport people to Nebraska. But we have to stay here to serve our citizens, and we'll do the short runs reciprocal interagency agreement whenever it's possible or surrounding counties. But I don't know how to get the exact numbers. I think I told several people I went in and did my test at Seco Park, and then I got no answer in 48 hours. And so I went to Leslie and said, how do I know what I did? Because I wanted them to test. And my husband went at the same time. I now got, I got seven emails that said undetermined, and he's never got an email. It's not local. It's a data company out of Texas. We've kind of followed it through. But makes you take a deep breath and just pray that the individuals will take care of themselves and their families right now, because the data doesn't count anything. If you're the person, if you're the family, then it's tough.
Yeah. Well, I think I saw 38% is what KDHE has reported the vaccine rate is at in Pod County. I think it's 44% in Riley. So about the same, you know, really not a huge difference there. And
we need to give them a shot with a shot in the bar. We take care of it.
There you go. Well,
that sounds bad.
There's other updates you guys had yesterday, and I didn't get to hear the whole meeting because I had a doctor's appointment. But anything of note from some of these other department heads here? Maybe the fire department or Public Works?
Well, Public Works is talking about, and we keep working on specific bridges and we have ratings on bridges that are done by an outside agency to tell them about the value and the status. And we looked at several of them several months ago and have discussed some of them being able to have some grant money from the transportation department. And so we took ahead on some of those issues and approved one over by Westmoreland on, I can't remember the road, but it's an old stone bridge, and we're going to go ahead and try and get that one designed. And trying to get things designed so that we know what the estimated cost is, so that you can go back to the budget. No matter what we thought 8 months ago, steel has gone up, and the price of asphalt probably, because you look at gas prices tied to anything that's got petroleum base in it. And those things are the exact reason why it's hard to sit here right now and say, yeah, we're going to do everything we ever said. But we did put that one mill is to try and do Salzer Road, try to come along. I did make the motion to design the rest of Excel to the school and Harvest Road to the east. I didn't get a second on it because I wasn't strong enough on the sales, I guess. But that's recognized on our list as one to do. I just want to get the planning in place so that we get the right-of-ways assessed if we have to do condemnation. That takes the time, too. Even donation. A lot of people in our county donate the right-of-way because they gain the benefit of whatever's out there. There was also discussion, not really yesterday, but it's in the discussion of development of solar and the development of a quarry. And both of those have interesting developments. We know, talking with energy people, and it's just general knowledge, that coal-powered plants have some limitation. So that's a discussion in terms of what do we need to know to make the judgment if they should go in? Not just, yes, you can, or no, you can't, but what qualifications, what you want to do with roads that access there, the issues that go with that. So that's been a lot of conversation. We have the Immaculata going in St. Mary's, and that had a report to, at least to the Economic Development Committee, about its potential growth over on that side of the county. And that I might have sent that to you on the back row.
So.
You can take a look at the pictures anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't been over to St. Mary's recently, it's the whole Main Street's been improved. The Immaculata is on 2nd Street North. It is going to be seating 1,500 people and have towers that are 12 stories high on the two, I guess you call them steeples. And that development over there is outside the taxpayer's responsibility, but it has a great impact to the people that live in that community. That's a great little town. Good food.
Yeah. I think, did you bring some cinnamon rolls or something like that? Some sort of bread. Derek brought some bread.
Well, that's at Bellevue, and Bellevue has the famous, you'll see it at Menards and every other place, onyx plant. And the onyx plant in Bellevue, a city of 200, has 400-some employees in manufacturing. The bathrooms custom-made, or showers, or anything you want custom done. They have 3D printing for items, and they travel all over the country. They probably got 50 trucks sitting in that town waiting to go someplace, or trailers behind pickups. A little more frugal, perhaps, but the Auerich Camps family has done that, and that's the only derail allowed in our county, but I don't even think you have one except to the Fort Riley for between our derail over there in Bellevue and going on through Manhattan over to the Fort Riley on the railroad. The big derail is, you always look at a small town and say, how do they get these cars with onyx on them sitting there? But it's interesting. We also have a Go Green plant over in Onega that is biodegradable plastics made with soybean or farm products, and they're shipping to China and every place else. So they're looking for chemical engineers to live there. We did a comprehensive plan over there in that town, and it's growing and nicely cleaning up, as well as even St. George is cleaning up. So
yeah. All right. Well, I'll have to make a drive up to Onega. I don't think I've been to Onega. I've been pretty close by there, but not in the city. I need to take a break. I'll come back more with Dee McKee here in just a moment on In Focus.